Welcome to the Sunday of Sweet Corn Festival attendance. Yes, every year. Well, I want to welcome you, and before we get into our message, I would really like to thank, speaking of the festival, anyone who was able to help with the gates yesterday and also with the car show. Both of those went incredibly well. Very, very thankful. Thank you. We probably had about 60 to 70 of us out there serving. We set two records yesterday. Number one, this was the biggest gate the festival's ever had, and so praise the Lord for that. And number two, a new record, I was cussed out by 9:10 a.m. Yesterday. That's not a joke, so not the last time either, but within 10 minutes of the gates opening, someone let me have it. So, honestly, at the end of the day, it's just the world, people need Jesus so bad, and we are just seeing more and more and more just anger, and it's rough, but anyway, down to business. If you are a guest or weren't here last week, we are in week two of a sermon series called Reboot. But what this is really God giving a vision for our church that it is time for us to address everything we do so that we can grow again, so that we can grow, we can reach the lost for Christ. And this is not a sermon series. This is a season where there's going to be a lot of changes. And if you weren't here last week, the one clear vision I can promise you that God has given us is that we must connect with each other through life groups, small groups, and we'll get more to that in a moment. If you love Jesus, if you care about your community, your faith, your family, our church, our health, that is something that we have to do. Jeremiah 29:7, we talked about last week, says, to seek the welfare of where you live and pray to the Lord in its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Another translation say, in its peace, you will find your peace. And so it's really, we look so much to our own family, social circles, jobs, even our faith, but really the answer for revival, for change, for a massive church growth is for us to individually be a part. And so change is coming to bring us into the fullness and the church into abundance and harvest. And last week we said there's two things that we need to have for this to happen. That's unity and that's you. Unity of knowing what we're doing here and you. Not the person next to you, not the pastor. You must be on board. You must be on board. Because when the church acts like the church, and we don't look at it as the building or an organization or the pastor, whatever, when you say, I'm the church. So repeat after me, I'm the church. I'm the church. I love being a pastor because when I used to be in church, I hated when the pastor did that. Repeat after me. I'm like, ugh. So if you rolled your eyes, that's okay. But you're the church. And so we need unity in you. And what we mustn't do, we talked about last week, if you were here, when God told Abraham to go, so therefore the covenant could come, and more numerous than sands, sand on the sea, and so we who are Christ are part of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the covenant, and Jesus could come, etc. It was Abraham saying yes to God, not making excuses when God told him to go.
Well, I'm 75, and I'm comfortable, I'm in my father's house, I'm set, my retirement's set, I've had my social circles, my friends and family, Abraham was just said yes to God. And so if you are a follower of Jesus and this is your church, need you to say yes. And last week, praise God, this is amazing. So the most recent statistics that I have found, a lot of research put together, here's where we're at. In large, healthy churches in America, about 54% of adults participate in a life group. Now, a lot of churches, that's higher, it needs to be higher. So we set a goal that over these next 6 weeks, last week, today, the next 4 weeks, where you will have a chance to sign up for a life group, we wanted to get to 60% of our 300 adults into a small group. Guess what happened last Sunday? 60% of our adults signed up for a small group. On the first Sunday. That was some seriously long applause for that. 177 adults last where you go get your coffee and it says, we, and that's you, and that's me, exist to glorify God through equipping people for life and ministry, all of us. We do this by trying to have a loving, welcoming, compassionate environment where people at all stages can come, worship, fellowship, and belong. Our objective is to see people come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, redeeming them to God, and equipping them, and that them is you and me, to live an abundant life with the help of His Holy Spirit. All this done while we draw closer to God and one another in love. So if that's really our mission, I think it's appropriate that every so often, including today, we kind of talk about that. And so if you read that, it says, we exist to glorify God. There's number one. We exist to glorify God. If you love Jesus, you realize the very purpose of your life is to glorify God. That's why I exist. That's why you exist. It's not to do what I want, have the most fun, satisfy my desires, make the most money. Do these things. Some of those in context are great, but you exist for God. You're a believer, you understand that. And the church should try to do the same. We should exist to glorify God. Good things should be going on. So much more has to go on in your life than Sunday. Hello, fellow righteous person. How are you? Great. See you next Sunday. And even if we do a little bit on the side, we've got to be connected there. Because a body, which is what the church is, has to have all its parts functioning. And you're one of those parts. And that's why at that 54% number, I'm like, really? I like to have like 90%. I mean, we have to be connected in doing this. And so it's so important. We exist to glorify God. And there's a couple of verses about that. Isaiah 43 says that all who claim God is their God, you've been made for His glory. It was He who created you. In Corinthians, there's a verse that talks about everything that we do should be done for the glory of God. Everything that we do. And so we want to do that better individually, because we want to get out of this notion of the church is this entity. The church is the building. Here we are on Sunday. When you and I are joined together in this mission to go into the world and make disciples, that's the church. And we know, guys, that nothing makes God happy. What makes God the happiest? It's salvation. God is the happiest when His lost children who were lost in sin, lost in self, lost when they come back to Him. Have you ever lost your child? Have you ever lost them for a split second? What? Is there any better feeling than when you, oh, there you are. Right? Now, in our case, that happens. You know, if you've ever met Isaiah, he gets lost. He's just, like at Walmart, they have the things where you reach through and there's like balls and you pick them up. He'll just like jump in there, and then, you know, we could be walking by and he's the type of kid who just, here I am. Oh, son, I'm so thankful there you are. Now I'm going to kill you. So, if you've ever lost your child, you understand that it's great when you know that they're safe and okay. And God wants nothing more. He's looking down at this generation. He's looking down at our world. He's looking down at hopes and sees the vast majority of His children. He knows they're going to be cast into outer darkness because they don't know His Son, Jesus. And we have got to be better at taking Jesus out to them. Again, to go back to the small groups, we already have, Hunter, about 20 groups formed. Is that about right? So every small group will do 2 service projects a month. Now, 20 times 2 is 40. So every month in Hoopston, Illinois, there'll be 3 or 4 groups doing projects in Hoopston. You can't fathom the impact that will have. Is that going on right now? No. That's going to be incredible. And that goes to our second point of our mission statement. To equip people for life and ministry. If you're not doing ministry as a Christian, you're not following Jesus like you should. He calls us to ministry. He calls us to follow Him to serve. He calls us to follow Him into doing things that are uncomfortable, that are sacrificial, and that's being equipped for ministry. We're called to make disciples. If you are a Christian, you're called to make disciples. You don't get off the hook because you're too busy and life's too crazy and the kids are busy. You're called to make disciples and be a part of that. The Bible talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, the first verse says, to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Doesn't mean you're perfect, doesn't mean you have, but it means if you're a Christian, you need to walk worthy. You need to live a life that is, number one, you love people, you serve people, you have a heart for people. And it says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering or patience, bear with one another in love. Bear with one another. I will disappoint you. I will frustrate you. I will make decisions as pastor or just as your friend or at times you're like, what is this guy? You do the same to each other. You disappoint me at times. It doesn't mean that we run away. There are so many, it's so frustrating. The worst thing I see is somebody comes to church and then somebody offends them or does something, they don't come to church anymore. They're risking their very eternity over what some person is going to do. I love you guys. I'm not going to go to hell for you. I'm going to keep loving and following Jesus even when you frustrate me to death. And ask you to do the same for me. Bear with one another in love. It says so right here. Endeavor, strive to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit, just as we're called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But listen to verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Understand, people are not going to live the exact same Christian walk as you are. There's very much black and white, sin is wrong. But as you look around your brothers, as you were involved in group together, as we serve together, different grace, we have different gifts, we have different struggles, we have different personalities. Doesn't mean that we don't have to love each other and serve together. That's just, Jesus has not given us that option. It goes on, verses 11 through 16 in Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So there you go. Well, I'm not any of those. You're the pastor. And so, what the next verse says? It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the church. Now, again, we've been through this. You hear the word saints. You're like, yes, Mother Teresa yesterday recognizes the saint. Wonderful. So what is the Bible? If you know your Bible, yell out with me. The Bible's very clear that every Christian, everybody who's put their faith in Jesus is a
saint.
We don't always act like it, but that's what we are because of Jesus' blood, because of what he did. And so, therefore, it's our job to do the work of the ministry, to build up the church. It says, so we all come to be unified in our faith and to have the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. I should read the translation up there. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you are living in the fullness of Christ, you know it because it's awesome. Doesn't mean that you're perfect, doesn't mean, but let me tell you, by the grace of God, I'm still got a lot to work on. I'm living in the fullness of Christ. I know what I'm doing here. I know who I'm called to be. I know where my eternity is. I know that I'm part of something, being part of the church, not because I'm the pastor, just because I'm part of the church of Jesus Christ. It's incredible. And it says, we should no longer be children. Think about children throwing fits and children crying and children going, my kids are great at that. They don't get their way. And so that's what kids do. We as Christians, unfortunately, often act like that. I don't like this change. I don't like this music. I don't like those people. I don't want to be in a small group. I'm too busy. Those are excuses, and that is sinful because God, when he calls us. Every Christian will serve and bear one another's burdens and do your part. And it says we should also recognize that we should not be tossed to and fro with winds of doctrine, trickery of men, cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Guys, as Christians, you have to understand and pray that God will give you wisdom when you ask him to see what is going on all around you all the time. Stuff to make you shut off, stuff to make you bitter, stuff to make you sin, stuff to make you not on board with the mission of the church. I recognize, I love watching TV, I love watching ball games. I can turn the TV on and within 10 minutes I recognize I'm seeing things that are made as part of the spiritual battle to make me want less, spend money I shouldn't, do things I shouldn't. It's all around us all the time. And you have to recognize that, verse 14 talks to. And so that we can speak the truth in love and grow up into all things, and let's go back please, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, works, and it causes growth for the building up of the church in love. So, from verse 16, here's what's very clear. The church will grow when you do your part. The church will grow when you say yes. God has given a vision. It's biblical. The pastor says, if I'm a Christian, this is my church, I've got to be in a group. I've got to connect. I've got to stretch myself. I've got to do it. The church will grow when you do your part. That goes to tithing. That goes to serving. That goes to forgiving. That goes to praying. It goes to all of these kinds of things. To equip each other for life and ministry. Number 3, to worship God. Our mission statement says that we exist to worship God. And that's in everything we do. It's not just about Sunday morning. What does the Bible say God wants the most from His children? Obedience. I want that the most from my children. That's something they don't do a lot. That's something we don't give God a lot. But He wants that more than anything. Being obedient to God is one of the greatest acts of worship you can do. Let me tell you, going out and living however you want all week, and you come in Sunday and raise your hands and hoot and holler, scream at the top of your lungs at the songs, which is great that you do that. God wants you to be obedient more than He wants that. He wants you to be a sing to Him. He wants you to worship and praise Him. He wants you to love Him enough to want to follow what His Word says. Romans 12:1 talks about this. It says that we are urged, in view of God's mercy, to offer ourselves as a sacrifice. Be holy, be pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. In some translations, some of them say this is reasonable. It's just reasonable. Again, it's not some perfect standard that we can't live up to, but it's reasonable that we understand we should strive against sin. We can't just say, that's who I am. This is my struggle. This is just what I do. This is how I was made. This is my thing. We have to strive against it and deny our flesh. We have to reverence God more and more. Possibly, the greatest act of worship is when we just give our lives. When we say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow the Lord in this way. Because that's sacrifice. It's not just come to church and do what's easy and try to be good. It's an act of worship is when we obey God, when we forgive someone, when we love others, when we do, just for example, before you leave today, if you're a Christian, this is your church, groups are out there, that's an act of obedience. That's reasonable to say, I'll be part of this. Our fourth one, which could be number one, these aren't in order of importance, is to see people come to Jesus. And if you're part of this church, you know, read your word. We've got to see people coming to Christ. It's all about the lost. It's about making disciples and reaching. If that message gets on your nerve, you're probably in the wrong spot. Because we're going to continue to preach reaching the lost. We're going to continue to preach serving and being a part of our community and taking the gospel into our world. We are the body of Christ. What did Jesus devote His body to? It was devoted unto death. It was devoted to being sacrificial. It was devoted to going places He didn't want to go, to coming to this messed up world, to loving and caring for others, and bringing them to God, and doing God's will. How did He do this? He made His life about every good thing but Himself, His comfort, His own thing. When He prayed, Lord, please take this cup away. He was ready to be arrested and beaten and crucified. And what did He end that prayer with? But God, whatever Your will is. Whatever You want. And so often when it comes to our sins and struggles, some of them are just so legitimate and so such strongholds in our lives, but there's some we just don't care. We do what we want. I don't think that's necessarily following Christ, guys. But when it comes to reaching the lost, we know that many will not choose Jesus. The Old Testament, I love Ezekiel 33, and I'll paraphrase. It talks about, if you see someone who's about to get hit by a car, or ran over, or somebody's going to be struck by lightning. But someone who's in great danger, and you don't warn them, that's not a very nice way to meet, is it? And the Bible talks about that spiritually, that you and I as believers, if we see this world that is so lost and we do nothing about it and say, that's not my responsibility and I can't do anything about it, then the Bible says the responsibility of their soul, the blood will be on our heads. If we're not being part of doing everything we can to reach lost people, and I'm not talking about dumping them over the head and telling them what they're doing wrong and hitting church. I'm talking about you loving them and you serving them. And that, you and I getting just out of our comfort zone to say, yeah, I'm going to be a part of reaching them. I'll do whatever it takes. Church is going to start small groups. My small group is going to go out there and serve. Let's do it. Because somebody's going to be reached. Somebody's going to be loved. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get baptized. And I'm going to do everything I can to be a part. In Ezekiel 33, the verse says, to warn them, and if they don't repent, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself. We have an absolute biblical responsibility to be doing everything we can to reach lost people. What we're here for. Our mission says our objective is to see people come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not easy, it's not cheap, it's not comfortable, so on. And our final point we'll go over this morning, holiday weekend, I want to get you to get signed up for your groups if you haven't, and get you out of here, but it says drawing closer to God and one another in love. I love, my small group is going to be on Saturday night. You know, we hold the tent full spots just like that. I could be invited and you're in mine. I don't know. I can't name anybody in it. But I'm so looking forward to getting to draw closer to those people. To share my life. To learn about their life. To serve together. To eat together. It's going to be wonderful. I'm so excited because we need to be drawing closer to one another. And being drawn, and we need to be drawn closer to God. Our prayer time, our time in the Word needs to be serious. The Bible tells us to guard our hearts, to judge ourselves so that we don't have to be judged. It's so important we take our walks of faith seriously. Because without unity, we'll just never make it. We need to be sharing life, cultivating relationships. That's why these groups are so important, to be involved with one another, to bear one another's burdens, and to have an impact in our community for Jesus Christ. And see, one of the things is, a church our size, is there's not ways for you to serve. Jesus says, if you love me, feed my sheep, you will be serving. We, until now, have not had a great avenue to be plugged in. You know, we don't need 300 nursery workers on Sunday morning, or 300 ushers. Okay? And so this is a way that everybody in our church can serve. Maybe it's just a couple times a year, but how wonderful is that, and how wonderful that will be, because when a church serves, a church grows. It works. Every Christian is to be a servant. And a lot of it's just about our attitude. If I've shared the story before, sorry, I'm gonna do like your grandpa when he tells you a story 12 times, and he starts to tell it, and you're like, oh, here we go. And you know something's gonna be different from the time you heard it before. But I'll tell the story that in my life I've owned a few restaurants, and I had one incredible failure and a couple successes. There's very much the reason why one failed and the other were successful. Because the first time I bought one, I was an owner. And I wasn't gonna work, I wasn't gonna wash a dish or wait a table or do anything. I was gonna step back and be the owner, and it was just gonna work. Everybody else can do all the work, but I'm just gonna step back and it's gonna be awesome. And it went. And I realized the next few times I had a place that I had to wash dishes and jump in the kitchen and work and greet the customers and be a part any way that I could to make it successful. And the same is true in church. Again, here goes another grandpa story. When I rededicated my life to Christ, accepted my call to ministry, part of the church just like you are, and forget that I was called to ministry, I wasn't going to be a part of it. There were enough people in the church. I was going to be a pastor. So I wasn't going to serve. I wasn't going to do anything. I was just going to kind of bide my time. God convicted me. And the catalyst of that conviction, my growth, and my epiphany was my small group of realizing I need to be a part and serve and do anything I can to make sure that we're reaching lost people that we're being in church. And as soon as I did that, Sam and Carol called. One of the guys that was to visit, I'm like, where are services? Here we are, 100 years later. So, guys, God is looking for churches to be blessed. He's looking for people to be blessed. Let me tell you, these last couple of years, we kind of just spun our hook a little bit. He's looking for us to see them come in a variety of ways through Sunday morning right here in Vincent. And Baptist will be fired up more often than this. I want a huge water bill. I know you do. And I believe we're right on the verge, but you've got to be a part of it. What if not a one of us would say, you know, in part of the small group, you guys come here. I want to know your name. I want to know your name. I don't want to have to make a group. I don't want to have to leave my house. I don't want to have to. Those are lies and failures. Excuses. You're a Christian and this is your church. Now, you stand with this. We're going to close the prayer just one moment. Here's what 177 people did last week. Right now, if you're here, this is your church. Pastor Ryan's out there. And we'll be in just one moment. As we start to sing, just go. Groups are out there. We've had to form new groups. We need so many groups. And so go and get signed up. You've got 7-night-a-week options. You've got daytime options. You've got anything. What we need is you. So as we sing, the altar will be open. As always, you can come and pray. But if this is your church home and you haven't, as we sing, go. Pick your group so that God is amazing. God, what God's going to do. Let's pray for this thing. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, God, here I am, we put in our hearts, Lord, that this step of obedience, yes, I'll sign up and be a part, will lead to us learning your word together and connecting with each other. And as we go and serve,